should I be looking at?
It'll be that camera over
there. Yeah, just look. I don't see it on the screen. I don't see it on the screen yet.
Oh, we'll get you. We'll get you.
As soon as the screen changes, I'll be ready to go. Are we all set, AGP? Okay, good afternoon, everybody. If I can have your attention in the room just for a moment. This is it's 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. My name is Dave Buckingham. I'm the city manager here in the city of Morro Bay. And this is primarily for those of you who aren't in the room but are out in TV land. So the first 30 minutes of our outreach today is not going to be a presentation. It's going to be a mingle around the room here. We've got 6 or 7 experts from the Water Reclamation Facility project here in the room, a number of different stations to learn some things about location, about environmental issues, about treatment techniques, about visibility and aesthetics. So if you're at home watching on TV right now and hearing this, feel free to come on down to Vets Hall, and we'll be here till we'll be here till 6:30 or so. But between now and 4:30 for the next 30 minutes, we'll be doing an informal start here, and then at 4:30, we'll start with a fairly short presentation and then a question and answer period, so that we can all learn as much as we can. So I'm going to sign off on TV now, and we'll push the pause button, and then resume right here at 4:30. Thank you. Please do that. Yeah, thanks. There's a the clicker works.
Oh, well, then you can do it. Oh, you won't be able to change.
And AGP, if you'd just let us know when we are live, please. Okay. Great. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Again, my name is Dave Buckingham. I'm the city manager here in the city of Morro Bay. And for those of you tuning in, we started at 4 o'clock about 30 minutes ago and have had a good group circulating around and interacting with staff and some of the experts on the project, learning all we can about the project. Just if I could, before we get started, just to get a good feel for who we have in the audience and how we can best present some of these things. Were any of you all available to attend one of the two workshops that we had in October? There was a workshop on treatment techniques and a workshop on sort of design options. Anybody attend those? Okay, one or two, it looks like three. And then who was either was at or was able to listen to the council meeting March the 8th, I think it was, okay, three or four more, in which we did a pretty in-depth review. But it looks like there's some folks who also have not participated in those, which is great. That's why we're here, is to learn. So we're always trying to manage how much information we present and how much we don't. So we've got a presentation here. The purpose of this is not to have an endless presentation. The purpose of this evening is to have great interaction and frankly, great learning. So the most important thing we want to do is open up the mic at the podium here in about 15, 20 minutes for questions and answers. And it's not you'll notice this isn't a Brown Act public meeting. There's one or two city council members here, but there's no requirement for 3 minutes of public comment, or there's no limit to 3 minutes. So when you come up to the mic, we're looking forward to having a great and healthy exchange. Ask a question, we'll answer that. Ask another question, we'll answer that. We'll stay here till we run out of questions. Hopefully we won't run out of answers. So let me just introduce Mike Nunley, who's down on the right. You guys wore matching shirts. That's really good. And John Rickenbach. Mike and John are the program manager and the deputy program manager for the wastewater or the water reclamation facility project. They are contractors or consultants who have been hired on by the city, and these two guys are going to be with the city through this whole 5 to 7 year effort. So essentially, instead of hiring on permanent city staff, to like Rob Livick over there, who's our public works director, instead of hiring on a couple extra Rob Livicks to manage this project, the city contracted with Mike and John and their firms to, and some of their folks are in the audience here, but their firms to provide expert program management for this program. So I really rely on these guys as the city staff, as the directors, essentially, for this whole project. And then I mentioned Rob Livick, Public Works Director, is in the audience, and a couple folks from Black & Veatch. Black & Veatch is our consultant who is doing the facility master plan, which is the high-level planning for the project. And so they're here to interact with you, and if we have any questions that we can't handle, we'll turn it over to them. Here's what we're going to do just briefly. I want to mostly focus on the community goals. I'm not going to do a whole lot on the history and a number of other things because we really want to get into questions and answers. But these are the community goals for the project, and it's important to take 5 or 6 minutes to talk about these. They were a significant part of the conversation when we did this on Thursday evening, last Thursday evening. And so it's important for all of us to understand these goals pretty well. First, they're community goals. They were developed 3 years ago with a significant amount of community input through lots of outreach, and then they were finally and formally adopted by the City Council. But they are program goals, they're community goals for the project. The first one is to produce tertiary disinfected water. Tertiary disinfected, that's a highfalutin name for one of the highest levels of water treatment in the state of California. So this site, unlike our existing wastewater treatment facility, wastewater treatment plant, will produce about the highest level of water from wastewater that can be done in the state. The second is to produce reclaimed wastewater cost effectively. And this is sort of two goals in one. So the first is to produce reclaimed wastewater. Our existing plant sits on 26 acres on the beach and dumps 1 million gallons of water a day into the ocean. So a main goal for this water reclamation facility is to reclaim and then reuse that 1 million gallons of water a day to clean it to whatever standard or whatever level is required in order to reuse it. And we can talk about reuse a little bit if we get into the questions and answers on that. The other part of this is to do that cost effectively, and that's really one of the crucial tensions in the whole debate that we're having right now and the whole discussion that we're having, because we could site at this facility any number of places, but the further away it goes, further out it goes from where we need to reuse that water, the more expensive it is. So finding a cost-effective approach is important for the entire community. Allow for on-site composting. We actually got in a good discussion on this on Thursday. I'm going to ask Mike if you'd just talk about this for a minute, because as with a number of other things, I'll just say that these are goals. They're not requirements for the project. These are goals, what we want to do, not things that we have to do. And as the council works through this, we'll find that some are more important than others, and some might change a little bit. And this one has changed a little bit. Mike?
Sure. So when allowing for on-site composting was developed as a community goal, the thought was it's a great sustainable way to deal with biosolids. But in meetings that we've had with council, with the Citizens Advisory Committee, really the conclusion has been it's a whole lot more cost effective to dry the biosolids and have them hauled off by a contractor who can compost all that together with 50 or 60 other agencies like ours, have them manage it. There's several of them. There's one that's Liberty Composting that's over towards Bakersfield now that does that. And so the direction to council was kind of clarified in some subsequent meetings where they said, hey, if you could do this regionally or in order to prevent the potential for odor because you have open drying beds, because it makes financially more sense to let a regional entity kind of handle that, they kind of backed off from a primary goal being allowing for on-site composting. And the way we've viewed it is it makes a whole lot more sense financially and as a good neighbor to other properties to have that composting done by somebody else under contract at their facilities over Lost Hills or wherever they might be.
Great, thanks. So that's one example of how the goals change a little bit over time as we further design the site and the project. Another one is design for energy recovery. That remains a goal, and being able to produce some energy on the site remains a goal. But as we identify what the best site is, it might be that that site doesn't allow for energy recovery. The gold standard for energy recovery in projects now is to be net zero. That means to produce as much energy as you use at the facility. That was probably not going to be possible with a water reclamation facility at all anyway, but to produce some energy is a goal. But if, as the council wrestles with this, it might be that the site selected is not ideal for producing any energy. And in this, solar has been likely the primary method of energy recovery considered. The next goal is to design to treat for contaminants of emerging concern. What we're identifying now is many of the pharmaceuticals that we take in daily life pass through the body, pass through the wastewater system, and go back into our groundwater. And this goal is to design a facility and build a facility that treats for those contaminants that otherwise make it through the process. The next goal is to allow for other municipal uses. The primary municipal use that has been considered has been the city's corporation yard. It's not because we want to put a corporation yard at a water reclamation facility necessarily. It's primarily because the existing corporation yard is right in the 26-acre plot where our existing wastewater treatment plant is. And for that area to be perhaps redeveloped over time and in 5 to 7 years in order to put something there that's more appropriate on 26 oceanfront acres, we would have to move the corporation yard. There's nothing that says the corporation yard has to go at the water reclamation facility. We would need to find space for it somewhere else in the city, but that's one of the goals of the project as well. The next to last one that we'll talk about is to ensure compatibility with neighboring land uses. That's from day one has been a key goal, and that's one of the reasons that many of us are sitting here as we work to identify a site that is compatible with neighboring land uses. So from noise to traffic to odor to architectural design, it has always been from day one a goal to design a facility that's compatible. And then finally, to be operational within 5 years, we will be operational within 5 years of selecting a site. That's where we are right now. So we as soon as we have identified a site, I should say the council has identified a site and said go that direction, then the staff is ready to roll, and our goal is to be operational 5 years from then. So hopefully May of 2021, if the council chooses to make it a final siting decision this coming May, then we will be up and running. One thing on the workshop here, these workshops are not starting over. It's important for us to recognize that there's been 3 years of significant work and effort that has gone on to this point. There's a significant body of literature, actually, a number of detailed reports from siting reports to hydrology that. A long process with a lot of work has gone on, and so we are building on that right now, and all the information, that information, and the engagement that we're having right now with you will all assist the council in making a determination for selecting a site. I'm not going to spend any time on the history here. The plant's been around for a long time. We've been trying to. It's been about 10 years of an interest in rebuilding the plant. For about three or four years, it has been to move it and rebuild it somewhere else. And that takes us to what we're doing, what this project is. This is a two-phased project. So the first phase is a five-year phase that I just spoke about, and that is to build a water reclamation facility. That is to do to build the facility that does treatment to that super high standard, and we will be complete with that in 5 years. The second phase of the project is doing something with that clean water that the facility has produced. And that might go from year five to year seven. It could go from year three to year five and be part of the actually happen during the project. But that is the water reuse part of the project. And briefly, we want to use the water for its highest and best purpose. That could be an in-lieu exchange with ag. And that's one reason the Moro Valley is a good place to site the plant, because there's lots of ag users there. It could be some method of recharging our aquifer, so that water goes reclaimed water goes into the aquifer and then is used later, can be pumped out using wells and treated further like our well water is, and then distributed in the water system, or it could be, I don't necessarily think we're going this direction, but should the state have clear, direct, potable reuse standards, the city could be in position in 5 years to design a direct potable reuse system that cleaned the water to such a high standard that it went nearly straight into our drinking water system instead of through the ground or some other way. The important point here is that reclaiming that million gallons of water a day is a huge part of having a sustainable water portfolio going forward. And we've hesitated to get much into the economics of that water system, but suffice it to say that right now the city pays $1,600 an acre foot for state water, to be on the state water contract. If we pump water out of our wells and treat it for about $300 an acre foot. So if we were able to recover this million gallons of water a day, we could significantly cut the cost of providing water to all of our residents. Some of our wells are contaminated with nitrates right now. That actually costs about $1,000 an acre foot to clean that water. We can desal water for about $1,600 an acre foot. But what we would like to do is find a way to reuse and reclaim and then reuse that million gallons of water a day in order eventually to lower our cost of producing water. Couple of quick notes here on what we've been up to over 3 years. So a number of studies were conducted, as I said, very detailed studies. They started with 17 different locations and narrowed those down to seven. Those seven locations were then narrowed down to four, and those four locations were narrowed down to two. The Moro Valley was identified as the best of having the highest potential for water reuse, that system that I just spoke about for a moment. And so the Moro Valley has risen to the surface through this process, and thus the Rancho Colina site and the Rigetti site were both identified as the primary or best sites, partially because of their situation in the Moro Valley. I'll just note here that those two sites it's important that we have alternatives as we go through the CEQA process, the California Environmental Quality Act process. Having a robust alternatives analysis is a critical part of that process. And so the city has always had both Rancho Colina and Rigetti as perhaps not co-equal, but as two alternative sites for sort of the purpose or the reason that we're in right now, that if one became untenable, that the other was available, and to compare against each other. A critical other point on this is that that was about a year and a half ago that the two sites were settled on, actually 2 years ago. Recently, in the past 3 months, so we've continued to work hard on this through our facility master planning. We haven't identified which treatment process we will definitely use, but we've identified which treatment processes we won't use. So it's down to either an I think it's on the slide here. Yeah, it's down here to either a membrane bioreactor type of process, MBR, or a sequencing batch reactor, SBR. Both of those, as noted at the very beginning, are super high quality approaches, and importantly, both of them can be conducted completely inside, such as in most of the pictures that you might have seen at the design booth over there. So the very different, what we're talking about, something that is a technologically completely different from what we currently have. What we currently have is 12 open air sludge drying beds out there nearly on the beach, trickling filters, big open air processes where wastewater trickles over stones and other open air processes. The MBR and the SBR both take those, treat the wastewater completely differently, and do it inside. Okay, so we really went through this, but what this shows down there is that the four sites that the council boiled this down to, and then Rancho Clean and Rigetti, the two sites that we boiled it down to. And then last month at the council meeting, the council asked the staff to do a number of things. One of those was to do better outreach and more outreach, and this is part of that. And then the other thing they asked us to do was to go and look at two sites that were previously studied, the Chevron site and the Tri-W site, and to relook at those, to examine what assumptions we made about them before, and to understand if anything had changed with those, and then to be ready to bring all of that back to the council here at the first council meeting in May. Most of you probably received this flyer that went to all the mailboxes, post office boxes, and out-of-town property owners in Morro Bay. This is from that flyer, and what this shows is all of the 17 sites that were examined over the process 2 summers ago or 2 years ago, and then narrows down on the two primary sites, the one you see in orange there, Rancho Colina and Rigetti, and also identifies with that orange circle the Morro Valley, and the which is again the highest reuse potential for our project. I'm just going to briefly run through the four sites that we talked about. Rancho Colina is 8 acres right there on Highway 41, literally just off the highway. It's generally rolling. There's 75 homes within 1,000 feet of it, and one of its positives, like Rigetti, is it is close to water reclamation possibilities there. The Rigetti site is about 10 to 15 acres of low ground, also right there just off of Highway 41. You all know where it is very well, I think. It is 3,000 feet closer to the city's water infrastructure than the Rancho Colina site, which translates probably into about $2 million of pipeline costs saved because it's closer to the city's water infrastructure. It is there's 35 homes within 1,000 feet of that site. Because of that piping, it's probably slightly less expensive than Rancho Colina, but the cost of acquiring the property is likely substantially more than Rancho Colina. So they're very close in comparison when it comes to cost. The Tri-W site and the Chevron site are both similar in this way. Both of them are likely 10 to 15% more in project costs than either Rancho Colina or Rigetti. Tri-W is not for sale. There's about 550 acres of property, loosely called the Tri-W property, that is, think about the interchange of South Bay Boulevard and Highway 1 in the hills above there. That's the Tri-W area. It is further from, it's more in the Chorro Valley than in the Moro Valley, and significantly further from our main water infrastructure than the Rancho Colina Rigetti. Probably important when I say that when we think about our main water infrastructure, all of our wastewater goes downhill essentially and goes to the intersection of Highway 41 and Highway 1. So right in there is sort of the center of our water infrastructure. And interestingly, that's where most of our wells, our Moro Valley wells, are right in that area also. So the distance from that intersection, Highway 41 and 1, is the main measuring stick of how far we would have to pump and pipe. So that's Tri-W. And then Chevron Toro Creek is 3 miles up Highway 1 toward Cayucas, and then up the Toro Creek Road a little bit there. There is land that's for sale there, but like Tri-W, that is likely 10 to 15% more expensive than the Moro Valley site, primarily based on the cost of on the capital cost of the construction cost for pipelines, and then over time the operational cost of pumping effluent and water a substantial distance further. The other thing the council asked us to do, and I want to caution myself and everybody on being perhaps too optimistic or excited about this, but the council asked us to examine other Moro Valley sites in this 60-day pause time. We looked at 3 other sites, one of which is actually for sale, and it looks pretty good. That's the 150-acre site that's nearly directly across Highway 41 from the Rancho Colina site. It's got some fairly major concerns with it, but we think that we can work through those. The property is under the Williamson Act, which is an ag preservation contract, and we are working hard with our attorneys to figure out how likely it is that the city could un-Williamson Act what we would need there in order to build a water reclamation facility. I'm not sure if that's a verb, un-Williamson Act, but that's what we would need to do. So we're looking carefully and closely at that site. We've frankly already started some of the fatal flaws analysis for that site, which means confirming that there are no clearly obvious hurdles that we can't clear, from cultural resources to biological to geotechnical, the ground and foundations and stuff. It's looking pretty good. The Williamson Act is one significant concern. Also, access to the site, where, again, I have to have attorneys on this, but attorneys looking through, because the easement between 41 and that site, we're looking at that easement and making sure that if we did choose to build there, that we would be able to have access to it. We'd also have to build probably $1 million bridge across Moro Creek there. Right now there's a long dirt road driveway that then goes down into the creek and across a rickety bridge and up the other site. But there's some real benefits to the site, one of which is 19 acres of it is perfectly flat. So it is, from a construction perspective, we'll know more next week after we drill some holes out there, but it is likely a ideal site from the construction perspective, because it is it's flat, easy to build on, and plenty of space for a water reclamation facility and a number of other things. So I hope I was neither too optimistic on that nor too pessimistic. I want to be just really clear and fair and honest. That site looks good. If we knew that there were no issues with it, I think we'd all say that site's fantastic. But before we get too excited about it, it's crucial that we understand that there are no fatal flaws there, and the Williamson Act and the easement pieces are the primary ones. Okay, so that's the entire presentation, hopefully that generated some questions, or maybe answered some questions. And what we've got now, we've got an hour and a half, or an hour, I guess. We've got as much time as we need, actually. But we're an hour into the 2-hour planned event. What we'd like to do, we do have a number of folks watching on TV and who will be watching this later on tape delay. So if you come to the podium to ask questions, we look forward to an exchange with you. And then at whatever time there's no more questions that want to be taken from the podium, that's the good news about that is that it can be recorded well. We can hear voices. The TV cameras can do what they do. The bad news about it is there's about six or seven experts in the room right now that we could be having six or seven different conversations instead of just one. So we look forward to fielding your questions from the podium there, from the lectern. And then as soon as we get maybe 30, 40 minutes into that, or as soon as those questions have died off a bit, then we'll ask to close out that formal portion, and we'll go back to the booths and look forward to engaging you more. So I'm going to open the microphone up now for questions.
I have a question.
Sure.
We're doing a water reclamation facility, and we have phase one, and then we also have phase two. Now, by doing a water reclamation facility, I understand that there's possibilities that we could get money from various agencies to help us build this plant. Also grants. I think grants are available right now. This is probably a great time to approach them because we don't know how long they're going to be there or how long they're going to last. But that's one of my questions is too. We're all concerned with costs. All my neighbors are cost. We don't want our rates to go up. And by delaying this thing, it's probably really going to start going up the more we delay. So my first question is, so cost-wise, how much is it possible to get grants or funding from state and federal agencies? And I'll wait for your answers.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
You want to start on that?
Sure. I'll tackle that one. So we are aggressively seeking grants for the project, also aggressively seeking low-interest loans for the planning phase. Most of the construction grants for public water reclamation facilities or public water and wastewater facilities are construction related. That's where you have your best opportunities of success. So the objective is to get as far through the CEQA process as we can, have a really good project definition, know what's the best project for the city, then go after the grants and loans or grants to support that. Some of the examples of the grants that we know are out there, there are various forms of funding in Proposition 1. Those different programs will be renewed every year or two, so we're staying on top of those as our project develops. We've been awarded the $75,000 planning grant for recycled water facilities, so that kicks off that master reclamation planning phase. There's Bureau of Reclamation money through their Water Smart program and other programs. So those are some examples of the ones that we're pursuing. If we look at agricultural opportunities, there may be some USDA money, possibly others through that. So we're going to be as aggressive as we can. And the challenge with water and wastewater grants for public agencies are when you hear there's a Proposition 1 bond for $7 billion, the challenge is by the time that gets funneled down to what you could actually go after as a small city in the Central Coast, a lot of that goes to LA, a lot of it goes to the Bay Area, some of it gets earmarked for the Central Valley. So we're going to be as aggressive as we can, but we want to go after the ones where we have the greatest chance of success, because you can spend a lot of money chasing the ones that aren't the perfect fit for your project. But the key also is to have the right project for the city identified first. So in terms of success rate, what I've seen as a good success rate is, I would say our target is to maybe go after in the 20 to 25% range for the full project cost. A good success rate on a major public works project like this might be in the 10 to 15% range. just rough numbers on projects that I've been involved with before. But we're going to be as aggressive as we can. We've got a really good grant and funding strategist involved. Kestrel Consulting's been working with us. They work with Water Replenishment District in Southern California and City of Oxnard, a lot of big agencies, so they stay on a lot of these big water grant and loan programs. Know them very well through a bunch of different sources. There could be some opportunities at some of these various sites too, like the example that Dave brought up is, you know, this property that we're looking at as an option. You know, if there's creek restoration money that could be tied to the project, that could help offset some project costs. So there may be other things that come up related to the project that are unique to the sites and unique to the opportunities, but it's key that you find the right site for the city first, and then the grants will come, if you will.
I just follow on with two things, and thanks to your question, Bob. You're right, time is money. in a number of ways, but that is the longer we wait, the more expensive things are. That does not mean we should rush to any decision, but it is something to keep in mind. Note that we're already engaged talking to the Trust for Public Lands on. Really related to two of these sites, Rigetti and this new possible site. Trust for Public Land is somebody that we've worked with before that will consider purchasing essentially the unused portion of a site and then putting that into a conservancy. So, for example, if the Rigetti site were selected, which is roughly 250 acres, if the city required 10 acres, then Trust for Public Land could purchase the 240 other acres and put it into a conservancy status, which would do two things. One, it would reimburse the city for a significant amount of the land acquisition cost and would put the balance of the property into a conservancy, which would protect it into the future.
Yeah.
Sir.
That's why I asked the question, because I'm in favor of this Rigetti property that the city has an option to buy. I think it has the best for Morobay for long term. I know a lot of the Morobayans are concerned. We have issues with it. It's affecting some of the homeowners up on the hill. I understand how they feel. But we need a site, and we need it as soon as possible, because every week, months we delay, it's going to affect our rates in Morobay. And I don't think any Morobayan wants our rates to keep going up. And one thing to keep them down is to move as quickly as possible and to communicate with all our Morobayans. I know we have issues, but if we can work them out, talk it out, be transparent, communicate, and just see if we can get to the best results with the least amount of distraction. Thank you.
Thanks. Other questions, please?
My name is Homer Alexander. I'm a ratepayer. I live in the south end of town. I would like to address two different subjects. The first is reuse. I'm going to make a few comments before I ask my question. Is that okay? In the past, you have mentioned there are four possible options for reuse: pound percolation, groundwater recharge, injection wells to prevent saltwater intrusion, giving water to farmers in lieu of the farmers pumping groundwater to benefit the Morobay wells. The consultant that the city engaged to study the hydrology of the Moro Valley stated in his initial report to the WRF committee that the geology in the majority of the valley was not suitable for pond percolation or ground recharge. His report went on to state that both may be possible at the western end of the valley at the Narrows, but until his firm did additional research, he would not be able to comment on either method, or not be able to recommend either method. In the analysis of the Rigetti site, that the Duke Fine Screening Report state in the Duke Fine Screening Report, it was stated there was no apparent benefit to drill injection wells in the western end of the valley since saltwater intrusion was not present. Considering that treated wastewater will be 5 or 6 times more expensive than the city's existing water sources, I don't understand how giving water to farmers so they won't pump groundwater is going to be financially advantageous to the ratepayer. And finally, my question. Since goal number one is reuse, why is the city going to choose a site before having a very clear understanding of how the processed water will be used?
Mike, you want to start on that?
So I'll tackle that. The comments on surface percolation, what Fugro had concluded was at the upstream of the Narrows that there were not good locations for surface percolation. They also did not see good surface percolation opportunities in the west end. So the conclusion was they didn't see a lot of opportunity for surface percolation. They did note there was a small area right around the Narrows that could be possibly surface injection or direct injection. The part that they haven't looked at in great detail yet is the part of the groundwater basin where the city's wells are located. And that's really the next study area, is to determine if injection wells in that area, how those would be developed. The positive is we know the city extracts water out of there, and we know we know that the city has a number of wells that produce water. We know the city also has the seawater wells, so we have a lot of good information on that, and we know that if we can produce that water, that we can inject similar quantities back in there. So they are looking at those areas. The Dudex study, I can't speak to that one, but I can speak to what Fugro has done. And giving the water to the farmers being advantageous, so the concept there could be that there could be some exchange with the farmers where they're provided water and they reduce their pumping in some sort of a lease arrangement back to the city. And the benefit of that is the regulatory requirements on the water that they require or need are a lot lower, and the monitoring requirements are lower than what the city needs to do for injection wells and that sort of thing. Regarding picking the site before nailing down the water supply, that's something we've struggled quite a bit with. What we attempted to do early in the siting report and siting studies is we actually developed several maps. We looked at a reclamation and reuse study as a component of one of the site options reports. We actually looked at the water reclamation opportunities in the different valleys, Chura Valley, Mora Valley. Cleith and Associates were involved with that. And the determination was there were enough different opportunities in the Mora Valley that it made the most sense to site a facility within the Mora Valley because we're close to the city's collection infrastructure, we're close to the city's water supply and water infrastructure, and the way these water reclamation or the recycled water facilities or systems work is you typically don't find one way to get rid of all your water. What you often have to do is think 50 years out, 50 plus years, and you think about how that program might be phased over time. We know that the city has a reverse osmosis desalination plant that treats seawater, also treats brackish water. The concept that in 10, 15 years, maybe even sooner, direct potable reuse may be the most cost-effective way for the city to proceed. That also leads us to have great confidence in the Mora Valley as the site for what could be a combination of different reuse opportunities that phase over time.
Thank you for your answer, but I'm not sure that you at this sitting you really know what you're going to do with the water that's going to be produced in this plant.
That's part of this grant that the city just was awarded for the master reclamation plan. That's really the objective of that study. So is to determine what the phasing look like, what the costs will be, and where that water will go. So that's the next 9 months or so will be for that effort.
I think we're convinced that there's some use for that million gallons of water a day that's better than dumping it into the ocean. So that's the basic premise. The water reclamation plan will help us determine, based on the assets that we have, assets such as an aquifer, farmers, whatever, it will help us to determine what the highest and best use is for that million gallons of water a day. The two things I'd add also, I'm going to look at Rob Livick here to make sure I've got my numbers right, is it 700 acre feet a year we're allowed to pump out of Mora Valley?
500.
Yeah, so about 600. So we are only allowed to pump 600 acre feet a year out of our Mora Valley wells. And this goes to this agricultural reuse. Our water requirement for the city is about 1,200 acre feet a year, which means we're 600 acre feet a year short, and we need to get that water from somewhere. Some years ago, the city made a decision to go on to state water, and as I mentioned a few minutes ago, and so we get almost all of our water right now from state water. We could be pumping about 600 acre feet a year out of our Moro Valley wells. And what this ag in lieu or ag exchange envisions is if the city provided reclaimed water to different agricultural users in the Moro Valley and they gave up or they gave to the city 100 acre feet from this farm, 200 acre feet from this avocado operation, 300 acre feet from this one, then the city could piece together the right to pump nearly all of our water from the Mora Valley. So that's the thinking behind one of the ideas, which is ag reuse. The other thing I mentioned that this phase two could go from year 5 to 7. Phase two is the water reuse. Perhaps it could go from year 3 to 5. We should also, and we are thinking, that perhaps it might go from year 7 to 9, because if indeed the state is serious about permitting direct potable reuse, then there might be a case to be made of, instead of building some infrastructure such as injection wells or pipelines to farmers or this or that, that we could just wait for a couple years and figure out direct potable reuse and be in a situation where we were producing most of our water we needed from our reclamation facility. Sir?
Well, hopefully the Moro Valley will turn out to be the most beneficial reuse to the ratepayer. It'll sure be a shame if it turns out after your research it's not. My second set of questions deal with the cost to the ratepayer. Based on information from the Bartle and Wells rate study report, the annual cost to operate the Phase 1 plant and service the debt in 2021-2022 is $6.8 million. Cayucas' portion of the 6.8 was estimated at $1.7 million. I understand that the city is reaching out to the Sanitary District's board, asking them to rejoin the project. But if that effort is unsuccessful, when is the city planning to adjust the sewer rates to reflect the annual loss of the $1.7 million?
There's a couple things tied up in that, and the basic answer is certainly not for 5 years. The current rates are locked in for 5 years. While it's true that the rates were based on an assumption that Cayucas would be a partner in the project, and if they are not, then some of that would have to be made up. There's a couple other factors in there, including it won't cost as much to build a facility that doesn't involve Cayucas. Because it wouldn't have to be as big. The scale of savings is as much as we would want it to be, but we would save some money there. Also built into those rates is a pretty substantial contingency. I believe it's $10 million contingency, Rob, 10 or 15.
30% of the...
No, not in the project, but into the rates.
Into the rates, yes. We're assuming contingency and also other capital projects that would be concurrently.
So there's two things that will impact how much of that gap needs to be filled And it's also, since we're talking 5 years down the road now, we could be in a position where we could start to measure what savings in cost of water, and we might be able to factor those in at this point. At that point.
In the October 2013 First Options Report, the total project cost for the Phase 1 plant was a little less than $75 million. At that time, it was unknown where the plant was going to be built or the technology that was going to be used. Over the last 2.5 years, some of the line items within the $75 million have changed, but the total project cost has not. When do you anticipate updating the cost projections?
The project budget is going to be determined through the facility master planning process. So once we get the site identified, then the facility master planning team, Black and Veatch, can start working through the cost opinions and the concept design for the facility. So that's really the critical path. In terms of the master reclamation or the phase two part of the system, that's really going to come through that master reclamation plan, so that'll be towards the end of this year.
Is there a date for the completion of the Black and Veatch report?
We have not set a date because we do not know when council is going to determine or is going to select a site for the facility master plan and CEQA work. So we don't want to set a date until they say go.
If I can just address that for everybody, that we have done all the work that we can, both in the facility master planning and on the environmental side. We've done all the work that we can without knowing which site we're going to go to, and we've done almost no work past that. So I was very careful with the team in saying, I don't want Black and Veatch doing any work on any site until we know that's where we're going. So, and we've really pushed a pause button about 2.5 months ago on this. Right about Christmas time, we got to the end of the facility master plan. Most of that work was done that could be done holistically. Same with the environmental. Both of those groups are ready to press forward as soon as we undo the pause button, and it'll be about 4 months from
somewhere
the time
that
we say go till the facility master plan is complete.
So in other words, assuming that the city council makes a decision at the first meeting in May, you would anticipate being able to tell the residents and the ratepayers that the new cost projections will be available in September of this year? September, October?
Should be. Correct? I think that's a good assumption.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion about moving the corporate yard to the new site. Since the corporate yard services the city's general, transit, water, and sewer funds, I am assuming that each of those funds will pay their proportionate share for the new facility. Has an estimated impact of moving the corporate yard been made on what it's going to do to the water and sewer rates?
No, moving the. Actually, that's one of our objectives this year is to plan for movement of the corp yard to wherever it will go. You're exactly right. It's crucial to note that water and sewer rates will not and cannot be used to pay for anything that's not water and sewer. And so so we'll have to do a very transparent and detailed analysis of how much general fund money or other monies, but not enterprise fund money, needs to bear the cost of wherever the corporate yard goes.
Well, I want to be sure I understand that. The corporate yard currently stores a lot of water and sewer infrastructure vehicles and mobile equipment. So I would assume that those funds would pick up some portion of the cost to store their equipment.
Yes, but it also has things that aren't water and sewer, and that's been another concern, a valid concern from the community. So, for example, the maintenance team is not water and sewer; they're general fund funded.
I understand, but I still am not. I'm sorry, I'm so dense.
I'm sure it's me.
Aren't the water and sewer funds going to end up paying some portion of the cost of the new yard?
Yes.
Yes, they will. Correct.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to worry about where the money's coming. Okay, I wanted to be sure that was right. One of the city's 2016-17 goals is to investigate moving the desal plant. Based on the comments by several city council members, I believe there's a good possibility they will recommend relocating the plant. Again, referring to Barnwell Wells, moving the plant was not included in the projected 10-year water fund capital budget. When the discussion about moving the plant is brought to the city council next spring, will the city staff include the impact on the water rates to move the plant?
I'm surprised that you've heard from council members who said they think we will move the plant. That's the staff is nowhere close to any analysis on that. What we've broadly talked about is that when those 26 acres are redeveloped, then we'll have to look at the location of the existing desalinization plant, see how that impacts whatever redevelopment could take place there, and then determine then if it needs to be moved or not, or if you could put a pretty top over it and make it match whatever is going to be at that site. We've also broadly discussed, and this is way early on, we're 7 years, probably 6 or 7 years from this, but if there were some let's say there was an RFP to redevelop 6 or 7 of those acres, and those 6 or 7 acres included where the desal plant sits, and whatever we wanted to do there, it really needed to move. Well, whoever's going to develop that can pay to move it. I think we're a number of years out from making those decisions. What we do want to do this year is have a rough idea of what the cost would be to move that if indeed we needed to move it.
The other thing I would add to that too is there's also the general plan, a local coastal plan under development. Yeah. That'll affect a lot of this. So those will deal with a lot of the other issues outside of water reclamation facility, but they also have to deal with utilities like the city desal plant.
I've been in the desal plant, and granted, the trains are on skids, but everything else looks very permanent to me. I think it's going to be probably very expensive to move, plus pipe the water back and forth. The last question I have is the piping and pumping costs that have been discussed at great length. On Thursday night, Mr. Nunley indicated that building the new plant at either the Chevron or Tri-Valley Tri-W sites would increase piping and pumping costs between $8 and $15 million. In his December 2014 report comparing Rancho Colina site to the CMC site, the piping and pumping costs were projected to be $12 million. CMC is 6 miles away. Why has the cost per mile increased so much?
I don't have the CMC report in front of me right now, but let me put something together to come back to council and compare those. I don't recall why there would be that significant of a difference based on that mileage. Yeah. But I'll go back and look, because we had a number of assumptions when, the contingency assumptions and a lot of those things could have affected that. But I want to give you the correct answer to that. So let me go back and dig.
I would recommend that before you make your final presentation to the WRF committee on May 3rd, that you really take the time to produce an accurate cost for piping and pumping for all of these sites, rather than a general estimate of 10% to 15%, because it's very difficult to understand how, when you're talking about the difference between Rigetti and Rancho Colina, and how it's 2/3 of a mile, and it costs $2 million, when you equate that to what goes on with the CMC, some of the other estimates you've made, it's not totally clear to me, or I think anybody else in this room, on why it's 10 or 15% more.
One thing I would point out is we have put together several draft exhibits, and we are going to be bringing this information back to council, but we have taken a first crack at refining those numbers, and you'll see them there on those exhibits for the different sites. And we've looked at the O&M cost differences among the different sites, and we've also looked at those capital costs.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Other questions?
Good evening, Rick Deschler. If Cayucas continues to go down their own path, so both of our entities are developing their own plants, once one of the plants have been built, what is the cost? Who is going to be bearing the cost of the existing plant for operations? And is there any limit, you know, number of years, if one plant should, open up before the other one? Who would bear the cost?
I'll jump into that. That's a very good question. From a regulatory perspective, discharge permit is with the two agencies jointly. So the two agencies are going to be jointly responsible for that discharge. So discussions with the CSD over the next couple of years, and part of the agreement will be to determine what the timing is for decommissioning of that existing plant, and when both agencies kind of pull out and how that happens. It's a pretty complicated issue with a lot of steps to make that happen. That's a really good question. It's something that the two agencies have to agree to.
I'll also note, Rick, that we met with CSD staff last Monday, and actually for those of you that saw the letter from really the entire council signed by the mayor to the Cayuga Sanitary District earlier this week, recommending that the City of Morro Bay, the City Council, and the Cayuga Sanitary District Board, that they reconcile, work more closely together. Part of that was a discussion about perhaps a future joint plant, a regional plant, but more importantly, perhaps, or at least at minimum, there's going to need to be close collaboration for the decommissioning of the existing plant. And that's what the staffs were working on last week, is to start to identify what all those areas are of discussion that need to have had. So there's some things that are known. For example, both agencies are going to need the discharge, the ocean outfall. That's going to be essential for even if they're separate plants. The future of the existing facilities, the existing infrastructure, I should have said infrastructure, pipelines, outfall, those things, of the existing facilities, the things actually there, and then the land. So all three of those are areas that are starting discussions or restarting discussions with the CAICUS, the CSD staff. We started that last Monday.
Okay. In the event that both agencies are out, are together, and the plant goes offline at the same time, is there a timeline on what the decommissioning process would be, you know, a number of years, would be, before we're able to redevelop and regain some funds out of that property?
I'll say that for Morro Bay, the costs of building the new WRF include the costs of remediation of the old site. The task I've given all of us and the staff is the day that we turn the big valve that sends all the stuff somewhere else, that's the day that we ought to start tearing down the old place. And in fact, we will likely, one of the tasks that council will likely give the staff next year is to start master planning that 26-acre site. It, from my perspective, from a business perspective, for taxpayers in Morro Bay, that thing should get transitioned into whatever it's going to be as soon as possible so it can start generating revenue, whether it's simply property tax or whatever other revenue can be generated there as a as an oceanfront visitor-serving facility, which has amazing potential, nearly 30 acres. That's a lot of land.
All right, thank you.
Dave, I'm going to tell what the existing agreement says about
sure, thanks, Rob.
Cost. So the way our existing joint powers agreement works is you pay 1 year and you settle up the next year. So if there's something where, let's say we're still using the plant, Cayucos is out of it, they would pay their share 1 year and we would settle up the costs the next year for the difference in flows. So that's really how the mechanics of the agreement works.
Thanks. Other questions? Next up. If you wait the 7 seconds of silence, then somebody normally will say, okay, I'm going to come up. We really are here to answer questions till there are none. If there's no more from the podium, then we're going to circulate here and field whatever questions. Yes, sir. Please.
Regarding Rigetti, and if you haven't read it, you might read it in detail.
A letter that came in.
It's online, and thanks to Tina and somebody else up on Ponderosa, they shared with me how to use the computer, Tina. But yes, it's a letter by an email statement of Mark D. Olson. If you haven't read it, you might read it. The other thing, too, is whether you put the plant up Rigetti Way or Rancho Colina or that other piece, the intersection down below could be addressed either before or after. I know Caltrans is concerned that it is a safety and a hazard issue currently, but if you put additional load on the 41, it's going to exacerbate it even more than it currently is. So I've offered to contact Caltrans personally if you want me to.
We're actually fully engaged with the Caltrans.
Terrific. When is the interchange supposed to go in?
There's a plan for a new roundabout at 41 and Main.
Correct.
There's a plan for it. The funding is, of course, the question. So there's no time that it's going to go in right now. We need to find, was it $1 million, Rob? It's actually $2 million. There's a $2 million gap right now between the Caltrans part of that and a possible city provided part of that.
And if anybody wants to talk with me about that when we break out, I can give you much more detail.
So we've got our eye clearly on that. We've looked at plans for it, and we're hopeful that we can get to the point that we can execute it.
So will you have an answer before you decide to go up Rigetti Way or Rancho Colina or the new site?
No.
So the cart before the horse.
No, the plans are there to improve that intersection. Also, I'll just suggest that there is not a substantial increase to traffic at that intersection based on the location of the plant.
It is the gateway to Morro Bay, and it's beautiful, as is all of the corridor up the line. The other thing. I'm a property owner with my wife at 2260 Nutmeg, and I've stopped the planning. That's our end house. It was her dream house. I've got $15,000 in plans that are on hold, and I have a definite view of what you're planning. If Rigetti is your chosen site, we will most likely be selling because I know the trees won't go in first. However, if you read the letter and you answer every question and concern that Mr. Olson has, that'll make me really happy because the jurisdiction and the slope and the earthquake ridge line, I probably wouldn't have bought up there had I known all of this, which is disclosed in his letter to you dated February 29th of this year. And he did respond saying that maybe a little more homework before you make these decisions on slopes that don't look like they're stable would have been advisable. The other thing, too, is I'm glad you're finally going to talk to see, what do you call it, Cayucas District? Yeah. They've got a wonderful team over there, as you are. However, if you get together, this divorce may not happen, and it might be a collective move towards CMC, or put the plant right where Cuesta College can be fed from their treatment plant. It's up against a mountain. It's hard to get that water through that mountain range, but there is an existing, as you probably have already seen, a system that's working fine. There's no reason why we couldn't put it right beside it. I disagree with your costs, okay, because there are plug numbers as of 2013. But if you seriously get together with CSD, I think you guys could crunch some very favorable results for the 16,000 ratepayers that are going to pay for this sucker. And, you know, call it what it is. It's a sewer plant, and all the impacts are negligible compared to what you're looking at now, even at the site that you say is, might be very promising along the 41 corridor. It's all in the book. Dana was very nice to me, and I was able to pick it. But all the research is there, my friends, and the letters and the correspondence from all the people that are going to actually pay for this thing are also in here, too. I can't add anything more because that's not my skill set, but I know a divorce is very expensive, and I love both communities, and someone might do a little research on the problems of what's going on in Los Osos right now, too. They're pumping water into the system to get it out of there to spray it. So these are all costs. Back to CMC, you want to put solar collectors on, you want to do all that, they've got all the land. So all you have to do is work out the right-of-ways through. Pretty simple. So get together, hammer it out, and save us a lot of time, effort, and money having to fight a very bad decision up on Rigetti. Thanks very much for your time, Mr. Rickenbacker.
Thank you.
You know it because a lot of this stuff is pointed to you. You've already seen it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Great. Well, we're going to, for those that are watching on TV, we're going to cut the TV feed here and go back to whatever Channel 20 does, or it might be us milling around the room, and the rest of us will be milling around the room here and look forward to engaging each of you with other questions that you have on a one-on-one or small group basis. Thanks so much. Good night.
$1 million.